Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I cannot be on the radio, but through our fabulous producer, Rob Center, on the other side of the glass. And we have a great co-host today. Mr. John Shipman is back. We didn't scare you away on previous appearances. So
it's always a pleasure.
Oh, I appreciate that. And we're going to talk about this donor class. You said it in passing a couple weeks ago. Billy, this man knows who's really running the country.
That's good. Maybe he'll fill us all in.
Yes. Well, and guess who it ain't? Us. So we'll talk about that. And as that little chit-chat explains, Mr. Billy Allred is here. He is a candidate for Union County Commissioner, so we're going to devote the early part of our show to his candidacy and his run for office. So thanks for coming in.
Great to be here, Mark.
I do appreciate it. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. After an open phone, or after a segment where John and I get to talk to Billy, we are going to have open phones, and you can use the toll-free lines. But right now, we're just going to get sort of our necessary questions out of the way that we have to ask every candidate. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. I don't see any new emails there. And you can also text us at 70236. Billy, you chose to announce your candidacy while you were on the mark, so I think folks will probably be already familiar with the fact that you're running. Tell us about your candidacy, who you are. I do believe that there would be people in Union County that aren't familiar with you, right?
There may be. I've been knocking on a whole lot of doors. I think I've hit about 1,800 doors so far, which is yeoman's work. But, you have to work for these things. They shouldn't be given to anyone. They shouldn't be bought and paid for, right, John?
Right.
And so getting out and meeting the voters and telling them your message is really key, I think, to proper leadership and proper electioneering.
All right. Who is Billy Allred?
Well, I live in Winfield. I'm a Union Township supervisor and have been since 2009, and I so appreciate the relationship I've shared with WKOK and being able to be on the mark very often.
Occasional
and call in.
Occasional
co-host, that's true. And I first got involved in politics when I got elected to be a township auditor, and I did that by simply voting for myself, and I got elected by one vote. So that was back in 2008, and it's been all downhill, I guess you could say, since then. But I'm vice chair of the County Republican Party in Union County. I've been on county committee since 2008 as well. And in my real life, apart from political life, correct. In the life that generates the income that my family desperately needs, I'm a business president. I manage OptiScript, which is a medical transcription company with 29 employees. We hired one yesterday.
Oh, good for you.
So 29 employees, and 27 of them are women, as a matter of fact. So that medical transcription is one of those fields that seems to be more geared toward feminine qualities, especially being very conscientious about detail in health reports. So we're a proud employer of a whole passel of women that are doing a great job, and we have a great team.
Well, focusing their attention on the same thing for more than 30 seconds would probably be part of it, but I don't want to get...
You are not going to bait me, Mark.
My lovely bride is the only individual in our house, I can assure you, can actually do two things at once, and she's in charge of almost anything that requires thought. I heard you... I was at the League of Women Voters of Lewisburg area function last night. You were there along with the 8 other candidates for Union County Commissioner. You're the only person that said, we need a change. So elaborate on that.
Well, I was kind of amazed because every candidate is asked why they're running. And when I hear the reasons why down the line folks are running, it's not really about the issues. And the whole reason I'm running is about the issues. If the current commissioners were doing a good job of representing conservative values, I wouldn't bother. Facing incumbents is definitely an uphill climb. But the fact is, I think most voters don't know because there's been a lack of transparency, but we've had taxes and fees increased in Union County 4 times in the last 5 years. Our current commissioners have raised their own pay 56% over the last 10 years. Compare that to a part-time deputy whose pay has only increased 20% over the same period. So it's not that I think commissioners aren't worth the money. It's really a question of, is there parity? Or are we elevating the top ranks of county government and suppressing the first responders and the folks that are on the front lines fighting crime, fighting fires? I think there needs to be a little more parity between those two.
So if I could vote myself a 56% pay raise, I could always say, well, I am a full-time employee. I am 24/7. Are they 24/7? And will you be 24/7?
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. At the very end of the night, I ask candidates to commit to working full-time hours for their $73,000 salary. And only 3 candidates.
Jeff?
Right. Jeff Reber, one of the other Republicans running, non-incumbent, and Heidi Rucknow, one Democrat at the end, who has no political experience. So the other, let's call them the mainline politicians that were up there, have no intention of working full-time hours for $73,000. And look, I think the job is probably worth that if you are working those hours. I'm not just challenging good wages for a good job, but it's not great wages for a part-time job.
You'll give up this company again.
OptiScript.
I'm sorry. How many times have you told me that? 75 times. You'll give up OptiScript?
Well, we have some things we can do and work on, and probably hire a couple of people to take on some sales roles and leadership roles. But I should maintain my presidency of the company.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that it takes 2 of you to do the work of one woman or something like that.
Well, it's a small business. So like in many small businesses, I'm responsible for IT. I'm responsible for sales, account management, and then overall leadership and finance. So, it's a pretty varied job description.
Okay. So when you left Thermal Products, is that the right name?
Yeah, Thermal Product Solutions back in 2013.
Did you ever envision this was in your future?
Well, probably. I actually, not necessarily commissioner, but I've always thought that I had a grasp of the issues, a strong, stalwart commitment to conservative values, an interest in politics that might take me beyond just township supervisor.
Okay. And when you said you're going to bring conservatism back to Union County, you talked about salaries, that this 50% increase, I didn't realize how much it had added up over the years. $73,000 is this figure
Correct,
they're
for
getting
next
now.
Year. Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned tax increases. Holding the line on taxes is wise conservative politics?
Absolutely. And, probably the most devastating tax increase that we've seen in this last term for the current commissioners is the fact that they tripled the debt service tax. And they did that when they took over the foreclosed upon Great Stream Commons, which was a debacle from the beginning. But that's a tax that if Great Stream Commons was sold, immediately, as I'm proposing, that's a tax that could be repealed. So I'm for actually cutting taxes, not raising them. And in my role as township supervisor in 9 years, never raised taxes. A couple of times we had another supervisor that wanted to raise taxes, felt like we needed to, felt like it was an obligation, and we came up with a plan and didn't do it. And I think that's what conservatism is. It's living within your means. It's responsible government.
All right, you're listening to Billy Allred. He is a Union County Commissioner candidate. He is a Republican. We're going to ask him about the Get Along Gang, which was actually an accusation made of the incumbent Republican commissioners in Union County, but they agreed to wear that title last night and to say that that is precisely what they are. In fact, then they compared them to how much better it is than in Northumberland County, where there's broad discussion and 2-to-1 votes occasionally, which... You could have an argument and say that maybe that is good government when you have alternative ideas at the table. So we're going to talk about that. We invite your calls from henceforth on this show. We'll take a quick break. And John Shipman and I are talking to Billy Allred, Union County Commissioner candidate on the Republican ticket.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. If you have a question for Billy Allred of Winfield, Republican Union County Commissioner, he's on the Township Supervisors Board in Union Township, the township with no zoning and no tax increases, but they do have a lot of good programs, fabulous recycling program. You support the fire company in some ways, the volunteer fire company up there?
Absolutely, and I've tried to take their gauntlet a little bit and their voice in this commissioner's race, because... That's one thing that's been highlighted as an issue that I wasn't completely aware of until I started talking to, going around meeting with fire chiefs and first responders. They feel like that their voices were not heard in the discussion about the 911 merger with Snyder County. And they feel like in terms of pagers, and there's cost savings that were achieved through the merger, but there are also some additional costs for pagers that needed to be changed to a different frequency to match Snyder County. And the commissioners have basically said, well, you guys are just going to have to foot the bill for that. If there's cost savings and it's part of the project, it should have just been included. So I think our current commissioners have abandoned our first responders in some ways. They feel that way. That's what they're voicing to me. So I've tried to be their voice.
And none of the incumbents, and I don't think of any of the other people at the table as being volunteer firefighters, correct?
No, I don't believe
that
so.
That I know of, anyway.
I think one or two of them may have been at some point in the past, but not recently.
Okay, well, they're not wired in, at least with the 911 folks, which, it went smoothly in terms of the front-facing aspect of it, what people see. But if you talk to either volunteers or police, they'll tell you that there's holes and gaps and situations, which you would expect during a transition, but there is a slow go repairs.
I don't think it was a bad idea. I just think it should have been executed differently, and I think if we had full-time commissioners, they would have executed it differently. They would have been more engaged, more involved. It would have been a decision that was made after a lot of discussion instead of the way it was made, which was, here's the decision, now let's talk about it.
You mentioned last night advocacy, access, accountability, pro-life, and gun-related endorsement. You said it so fast, and I was already writing this other stuff down. But let's advocacy. What's that related to?
Yeah, well, it's really taxpayer advocacy. I believe that the taxpayers' money is their own. They should keep as much of their money as possible. We should have limited government. You know, government should not be picking winners and losers, whether that's in business or in farming or in any other arena.
Access.
Yeah, accessibility. I think we need a more accessible county government. When I first started going to commissioner meetings, they weren't putting the agenda online. And when I brought it up, it was sort of this, well, we've never had to do that. Why do we have to do that? But then when pressed on the issue, they began to do that. And I think if the Sunbury City Council can have their meetings live streamed so that folks can watch the meeting offline and on their own time, surely Union County can do that. And I'd like to see a lot of our county employees over various departments out in the municipalities. I know from a municipal level, I feel like there's a disconnect a lot of times between the county and the municipalities. So, and I see that not only in my own township, but as the president of the County Association of Township Officials. I've heard it from other municipal officials. So I'd like to see greater accessibility for other government leaders as well.
Accountability?
Yeah. So accountability is about personal accountability from a commissioner perspective, I think. Are you getting your $73,000 worth? are you really operating in the open in a way that reflects the values of Union County residents? But then it's also accountability for employees. I think one of the things I've come across in this campaign in talking with most of the employees in Union County is they just feel like they've been deserted and their commissioners won't hear them. So, and in talking to residents, I know that there are certain departments that are not being held accountable. Veterans Affairs is one that I've gotten several complaints about, that folks have had to go to Lycoming County or go to Lackawanna County or Luzerne County to get their veterans benefits straightened out. The Union County couldn't give them the answers or gave them the wrong answers. And when the commissioners were approached about that, they did nothing about it. So I think there's areas where employees in Union County need to be held more accountable for their customer service, for their availability, those kinds of issues.
Last elements that were in your closing remarks last night, a pro-life candidate, well, an endorsement, and a gun rights endorsement.
Yeah, so I'm the only candidate in this race that is highly recommended by the PA Pro-Life Federation, also by the Firearm Owners Against Crime, FOAC, as well the PTCC, the Pennsylvania Taxpayer Cyber Coalition, which is a group of like 85 different taxpayer advocacy groups.
And why do they matter at the county level, the firearms or the abortion topic?
Well, I think it goes to core principles, right? So do you want to elect leadership that holds to the same values and core principles you do, that value life, that value the Second Amendment, that value constitutional government, or do you not care about that when it's the dog catcher? I care about it. No matter who you are, if you're serving to represent me at any level of government, I want someone who represents my values up and down the line. We don't have to agree about everything, but we should come from the same principled basis.
All right, John, you got another conservative on that side of the table?
Yeah. In addition to the things you've talked about, accountability and accessibility and holding the line on taxes, is there a particular issue maybe that stands out to you at this point that you say, well, you know, this is an issue we really need to tackle?
I think Great Stream Commons is that issue. You know, it's been up there for 20 years. One of the Democrat candidates last night at the forum referred to it as open space. I think she was saying that in a positive way. And I would view that negatively. We've got a whole bunch of basically open space that's not being used. And I'm the only candidate that's advocating that we sell that immediately, basically to the highest bidder through a bidding process of about 6 months.
What if we're upside down, though, if they only bid $1 million but we owe six?
Well, we're paying hundreds of thousands in interest on the bonds now. So we've got money that's going out. Even if we have to take a haircut, at least we've we have taken the hit now instead of passing it on to our children.
You don't have much room to go on there. So.
You're right.
Okay, I'm sorry. You open these doors. But in any event,
it's a good thing we're friends.
Oh, right. So the but this idea is if you get the $1 million back.
Well, you know, unfortunately, Great Stream Commons was put together for the wrong reason.
Right.
You know, it was a situation where a group of people were fighting a burner. I understand that. You know, nobody wants a waste burner in your backyard, and you don't know what they're burning and so forth, so I get that. They successfully fought the burner, and the burner didn't happen. Then this idea came, well, we're going to buy up all this land, and we're going to make this industrial development so we can control what's going to go in there. Well, you know, when you're out in the middle of the country and you've got hundreds of acres of land and you don't really have any prospects, the problem is once you sell the first piece, you start paying interest. And so they were so anxious to get somebody in there that they sold the first piece, I think, to the Eye Center. And once you sell that first piece of property, then the rules, the governmental rules that where you got the money to buy it and so forth from, say, okay, once you sell that first piece of property, now you got to start at least paying interest. So, you know, it was bought for the wrong reason to start with. Fully support the people who fought the burner, no problem with that. But the buy up all the land then and try to control it, probably not a good thing.
And I reject this idea that was brought up last night. You mentioned it, that this will only sell for $1 million. I've talked to a couple commercial real estate developers that said on the open market they thought it would bring close to market value, which is several $1 million, probably in the neighborhood of $5 to $6 million. So yes, we might be upside down a little bit, but we'd be able to pay off the majority of the bonds. Look, Snyder County is practically debt-free. Bradford County, practically debt-free. Counties surrounding us have reduced debt. Meanwhile, Union County's taken on debt. We have $16 million in debt.
Was it Joe Kant sat there and said, after we pay our debt next year, we'll probably lower taxes?
Correct. I mean, Union County's a prosperous county. It's a wonderful place to live and raise a family. There's no reason that we shouldn't be debt-free as well.
All right. Other aspects of your politic that folks will want to know about if they're going to elect you as a Union County Commissioner? Some other things you kind of stand for and, as you describe, related to the pro-life and the gun endorsements, is this is part of your persona, part of your character?
Yeah. So I think another issue would be limited government, you know, not putting up red tape and bureaucracy. You know, we talk about economic development, and at a county level, economic development is mostly about infrastructure. It's about bringing people to the table. It's not about the county owning land. It's not about the county choosing winners and losers in terms of giving this much money to business, giving this much money to farmers. You know, some of my opponents have called those things investments, and, you know, that's a nice progressive word for taking money from. Literally, in Union County, it's taking money from folks on a fixed income through their property taxes that don't have, you know, a lot of extra money, but they have property, so they're paying these large property taxes to the county and giving it to folks that are in business, giving it to farmers for farmland preservation, you know, these various programs. I'm just for people keeping their own money.
And if elected, you could be the minority voice on a future board.
Well, I could be, but, you know, Union County is 64% Republican. We don't want to take that for granted, certainly. But we've had Republican commissioners, a majority, for a long time. I think that would probably happen again. I would hope that would happen. I'd work with whoever else is elected with me.
Wait, one more question, John.
I just want to say that the debt burden is a big issue. City of Sunbury, we were able to get out of debt. When I went in there first time, we had $1 million in debt. Northumberland County is strangling in debt, $30 million or $50 million. I had no idea what it is, but it's way. And so I think that it would be worthwhile if you could get out from under the debt.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that's been brought up is because I'm willing to stand on principle and highlight the issues, whereas the rest of the commissioner candidates are, they're calling themselves, as you mentioned, the get-along gang. They're saying, well, you're going to turn Union County into Northumberland County. Well, I think people that have seen my work in the township, people that have heard my voice on the radio arguing ardently with Than Mitchell and then putting my arm around him, know that I'm not the Vinnie Clossy of Union County. I'm a guy who builds consensus, persuades others, but does so in a principled way that represents the voters.
He lowered my taxes. I mean, all decorum aside, you know, we had some taxes go down. Now, we borrowed more money for the 911, but I'd have to be more informed. Might have been necessary. Okay, you get a closing remark about 1 minute.
Sure. Well, I appreciate you the opportunity to be on once again. I think I am the true independent conservative voice in this race. I think that was obvious last night in the League of Women Voters Forum. The other candidates are running basically on the same old, same old. And if you're prepared for the same old in Union County, then I would say they deserve your votes. If you want true conservative values represented in this race, then I think your vote is well spent on me.
All right. We will have all nine commissioner candidates at WKOK.com. We tape-recorded the session last night that was put on by the League of Women Voters of the Lewisburg area, and we'll have that up at WKOK.com later today. And, of course, as soon as On the Mark is over, you can hear Billy Allred's remarks from this show.
Billy Allred, May 21st. That's Union County.
Or Tuesday, whichever comes first. Thank you so much,
right.
Billy. Yeah, it's imminent.
Lot,
you know
Mark.
That, right?
I know. It's right around the corner, thankfully.
All right. We're going to come back with more open phones. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan always has Friday off. He actually had yesterday off as well. But John Shipman has agreed to sit in on both days. He volunteered to be the conservative common sense person and to shake his head no when I start talking about bigger government and more taxes and more borrowing and tax borrow and spending. And so we appreciate that. Did you say off mic or on mic that Sunbury had debt and you helped pay it down at one point?
Yeah, when the first time I came on council, the city had about $1 million of debt. And over the following 6 years, we got that paid off.
Good.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, and communities have to borrow. I don't think it's the ultimate sin or anything. But it's always good when you get somebody that says, okay, we're not going to keep rolling over it and refinancing it. We're going to eliminate it. Northumberland County couldn't do that in the next decade if they tried, but it is $30-some million.
Right.
I think you speculated that's where they're at. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. In the news, there were some injuries on Reagan Street yesterday when a car hit a home. Joan Fox of Danville, now in fair condition at the medical center. She was driving an SUV that went off Reagan Street and damaged that home. Governor Tom Wolf was at the state capitol this week with a message to lawmakers about the need to improve the state's infrastructure without raising broad-based taxes. Our correspondent Mark Sims has that story.
After traveling around the state for the past several months talking to county and community officials about their infrastructure needs, standing in the state capitol rotunda, Governor Tom Wolf had this message for lawmakers about his $4.25 billion four-year Restore Pennsylvania Infrastructure Improvement Initiative.
Hey, legislators, senators, we need Restore Pennsylvania to clean up blight, to prevent floods, to remove lead, to increase broadband access. We need restore Pennsylvania to give Pennsylvanians the Commonwealth we all deserve.
The governor also urged lawmakers to support a severance tax on Marcellus Shale natural gas production, which would fund the initiative. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
A Pennsylvania school district is defending itself after a video surfaced of a safety drill that had a teacher posing as a shooter and donning what appeared to be a Middle Eastern headdress. The video appears to show the actor wearing a kafefe, but not the word the president made up a couple years ago. That's kafefe. Anyway, the headdress was worn by an actor in the portrayal of an attack at a school. The Penn Trafford School District said Wednesday organizers didn't intend to portray the shooter as Arab or Muslim at the January training. The district says the volunteers were provided costumes by a consultant group, and there was no intent to represent any particular culture or religion. The statement pointed out that the person portraying the shooter also wore a long blonde wig and a paintball mask. The Islamic Center of Pittsburgh says to stereotype the shooter is appalling given the data on active shooters and recent shootings. In Pittsburgh, the video was for internal teacher training only, but footage was posted on social media this week. And finally, Democrats in the U.S. House are poised to approve sweeping anti-discrimination legislation that would extend civil rights protections to LGBT people by prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. Dubbed the Equality Act, the bill is a top priority for the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who said it will bring the nation closer to equal liberty and justice for all. A vote is set for today. The legislation's chief sponsor, Rhode Island Democrat Dave Cicilline, said that it affirms fairness and equality as core American values and ensures members of the LGBTQ community can live their lives free from the fear of legal discrimination of any kind. Republicans say the bill would jeopardize religious freedom by requiring acceptance of a particular ideology about sexuality and sexual identity. So LGBTQ popping up. We have open phones right now. John Shipman is with me, and I'm Mark Lawrence. We invite folks to call in if you have an opinion about this. We talked about Wood Mode this week. The president has an immigration plan, so yes, it is not a good idea, in my view, but you might like some elements of it, this merit-based point system. And what is one of the categories to get in the U.S.? Is that the America First or a Grow America? It's a new category, not just for family reasons, not just for work reasons, but if you're going to help grow America, it's a top category.
Well, you know, you are the keeper of your house, and you invite into your home the people that you want to invite into your home. The United States of America has, over its history, in the early history, 1600s, early 1700s, people just pretty much came here. There wasn't any immigration policy. They were virtually all Northern Europeans, and so it was not an issue. By the period after the Civil War, the late 1800s, Congress then began to say, wait a minute, you know, we want to have an idea of who's coming here and so forth. And so immigration laws began to be put in place. Teddy Roosevelt, if you've ever read his discussion on immigration, he basically said two or three things. If you want to come here, number one, you got to learn the language. Number two, you have to want to be an American. And number three, you have to contribute to our society.
He said that?
You bet. And if you qualify on those, then we'll accept you here. Otherwise, don't bother to apply. And that was pretty much in the early 1900s. That was pretty much the position of the United States. We didn't want you to come here and be a drag on our society and a drag on our economy. If you came here and you wanted to work and you wanted to contribute and you wanted to assimilate, then we wanted you. But if you wanted to come here just for the goodies, not so much. It really accelerated after 1965 in the Great Society, because now there was lots of goodies to come for. And, you know, all of the things that we were told by the previous administration aren't true. They are collecting welfare. They are collecting other kind of benefits. So I read recently that it costs the state of California $3 billion a year to have these illegal aliens in the education system. That doesn't count, you know, welfare benefits or anything like that. That's $3 billion a year to educate them.
And what do they contribute to the economy, though? I mean, their parent, if they're in the school system, their parents are working, so they're contributing.
Possibly, and maybe not. One of the disturbing things that we find is after 5 years, 80% still cannot speak and read English. And so that tells me they're really not interested in assimilating into the society.
Or they can't, as an illegal. I mean, you can't go to ESL classes.
They go to school.
Their kids do, yeah, but not the adults.
Well, so, but you know, I think that there's holdbacks. Obviously, if you're an illegal, you probably don't want to advertise, but they do. You know, you look at the national news. They're, you know, I'm an illegal and I'm proud of it. I'm this, I'm that. You know, because they're since the mid-1990s, there's been really no penalty. And you know, the Bush administration, the last three administrations have been soft, including the George W. Bush administration. They really, none of them were really interested in controlling the border. And the reason they're not interested in controlling the border is because the donor class doesn't want the border control.
Oh, that's our closing topic. So, but we'll have to do that. We're going to have a couple of things before that. We have open phones right now, so we invite folks to join us. Earlier this week, we talked about Woodmode and what happened to the company. Millions of dollars in venture capital set up new deadlines and wanted something different from Woodmode than they could provide. And as one of our good listeners pointed out, the clock ran out. So we talked about that. We have talked about President Trump's administration in a number of manners this week. We haven't really talked too much about the Democratic presidential candidates, but they're out there. And immigration is in the news. The president had a statement yesterday, which he's apparently calm again. I don't know how he does this. One day he's calm and one day he's not, but I'm sure some medication's involved, but that's another topic. But he did outline what is certainly the perfect starting point for a conversation, right? I mean, specific plans from the president on what to fix and what to change, right?
Well, instead of all the posturing, Congress needs to get down to business and do something with the president. Two-thirds of the people now realize, I believe, that what we have is not acceptable. Even the New York Times and some of the other pretty liberal organizations are now agreeing that we do have a crisis on the border. And so instead of just making it a political ball game, Congress needs to do something about the issue. We are a nation of immigrants. Up until the last 10 or 15, 20 years, almost all of them came legally, but not always. And you go back, President Eisenhower sent 10 or 11 million illegals back. So, you know, this isn't the first time.
All right, so we can continue that. We are going to talk about this donor class that's actually running the country. And I carved out some time on this day's show to talk about the what is really just a stellar fundraising program around here. It's, boy, it's got to be one of the most closely watched relays in Pennsylvania. It's the Danville Relay for Life, and that's this weekend. So we're going to take a quick break. We got Mike Ferlazzo standing by. He's going to give us a briefing on tomorrow's Relay for Life. Well, it starts tomorrow, but it ends on Sunday. It is in Danville. It is certainly a newsworthy event. It is more than just another fundraiser around here. So we're going to talk about that shortly. We're enjoying open phones. We got one line ringing and Mike's on the other. So we'll take one quick break and we'll return. 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. that hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I told you I'm calling it a historical precedent set by the Danville Relay for Life is going to continue this weekend. We have a man who's boned up on the topic, Mike Ferlazzo. He works for Bucknell University, and he's well familiar with the Danville Relay for Life. So, Mike, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I appreciate that. You know, you've got a political theme there to On the Mark. Well, you know, the Relay for Life of Montour County had a little bit of a political citation on Tuesday. The Montour County Commissioners proclaimed Saturday as Relay for Life Day in the county. Gave my lovely wife, Kim, who's one of the co-event leads, a citation for that. And that's because we will have our 26th annual Relay for Life of Montour County on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. In the Danville Middle School. And, by the way, I might add that Danville Mayor Bernie Swank and her husband, Red, will join Montour County Commissioner and Chairman Ken Holdren in the opening ceremony and the opening team banner lap, which starts right promptly at 10 a.m., too, Mark. So that'll kick things off. And then we've got music and MC duties provided by DJ Mr. 305. There's going to be appearances by the Superheroes from the Central Pennsylvania branch of the Heroes Alliance and Tank from the Pennsylvania Dinosaurs. And also entertainment includes performances by Danceworks by Amber, Commotion Dance, and the Shikellamy High School Concert Band is going to perform during our relay as well. And, of course, all the proceeds for that going to the American Cancer Society. And, you know, we have a goal of raising $50,000. I know we were about halfway there even before the relay because I think, Mark, you've been around relays. You know they don't end right when 10 p.m. ends tomorrow. It's kind of a year-long thing and all that. But certainly this is a major fundraiser, and we certainly hope people come out and check out. We have 16 teams. They all have food stands. And speaking of food, that's one of the more popular things as well as we have, you know, two of the finer food establishments here with Heater's Ice Cream Truck and Vince's Cheesesteak Truck also will be out for the relay throughout. And I know a lot of people enjoy those. So,
I
should mention also we have a local honorary survivor, too, that being Letty Heim. She's a breast cancer survivor from Northumberland who serves as the Pennsylvania Information Management System and Student Information Systems Data Administrator at the Central Susquehanna Intermediate Unit. She's the honorary survivor for our relay, and again, we're really looking forward to it.
All right, and you said 26th annual. Danville had a relay before relays were hip. Was that the one of the first in Danville?
It was, and I think it was, you know, when Relay for Life was kind of in its infancy, it all kind of started, I think, out at Danville, and largely because of the fact that a lot of our cancer patients in the area certainly get treatment at Geisinger Medical Center there in Danville. So I think it started there, and from that original, you know, Relay for Life of Montour County, a lot of other relays have kind of been formed. I think, you know, they kind of came over, checked it out, and, you know, certainly we have lots of Relay for Lives around the area, too, and the headquarters for the Northeast Region Relay, you know, Williamsport, and we get some help from certainly them and their support as they come down to help us out with ours.
You want people, everybody in the broad community, to go to the Danville Relay, get some food, hear some music, even if you don't participate in the fundraising per se, go there and enjoy a meal and have some fun.
That is definitely true. And, you know, we have a survivor's lap and a survivor's luncheon that starts at noon. It's the survivor caregiver celebration and lap. And then we'll have the luncheon at 12:30. And then one of the always, I guess, traditional things for Relay for Life is the luminaries ceremony and caregiver memory lap, which starts at 8 p.m., where we literally have all of these luminaria bags lining the middle school and you know, in honor of all those who have passed or all those who are fighting cancer are all those caregivers, obviously, who provide assistance for those who have cancer, too. So it's quite an emotional event and certainly a fitting tribute to all those who have battled cancer.
Partly sunny, high 74, says AccuWeather. So you somehow got the timing just right on this. And when you start setting up tomorrow morning, it's going to be 53 degrees. What happens to the money raised? Let's suppose you raise your $50,000 or even more. What happens to the money?
Yeah, they it goes to the American Cancer Society. A lot of it does stay local, though. I know one of the programs that we help out specifically is the Ride Along program, where cancer patients can call and they get transport to their appointments if they don't have access to that themselves. The American Cancer Society certainly supports that, and then obviously the money also goes on to other American Cancer Society initiatives, including research, and that's really important as we look for a cure. And I almost missed the fact that our theme for this this year is Relay, but that's L-E-I for a cure. So it's going to have a Hawaiian theme, Mark. We'll all be wearing Hawaiian leis and certainly Hawaiian shirts and that kind of thing. So it'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, the money goes back to the American Cancer Society, all for the fight against cancer. But it does stay home too, locally. So it's very beneficial to some of our local patients as well. And I might add that weather forecast is great. But here's the thing. We've moved the relay inside the Danville Middle School, so it's good rain or shine now.
All right. Well, fabulous. So, and you can go outside and take a quick walk during the relay tomorrow. You can find information on Facebook. You can go to the American Cancer Society's website. They have an opportunity, cancer.org, and they'll get you more information about the Danville Relay for Life. John.
Well, it's good to hear that that it's a very broad-based thing that you're supporting. People don't think about, for instance, transportation and things like that, but that's a critical part of for some people of even getting them to the treatment centers.
Absolutely, and I think that's really important. Anything that we can do to help our area cancer patients, we do. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we have started through our Relay for Life efforts this year, and I know my lovely wife Kim has been participating in this, is they have been providing food over to cancer patients there at Napper Clinic, and I know next week they're actually planning a day where they're going to go over and I guess serve some pasta and things to cancer patients and all those who take care of the cancer patients as well. Apparently, they don't have a food counter over there now, so, that's greatly appreciated, too, to all those that are receiving treatment.
All right. So is it Ferlazzo's Angels, the name of the team that you're associated with?
No, it's Carol's Crusaders. It's for our founder, who sadly passed of ovarian cancer. Again, my wife, Kim, and the children of Carol started our, were part of a foundation of our team, and Kim has kept it alive, and then she's the captain of our team and also now one of the co-event leads, too, for the entire relay.
We'll put Kim Ferlazzo down for $20 from me, so that'll add to her total a little bit, and we'll get this total up. So thank you so much, Mike. Very much appreciated.
We appreciate the time, Mark. Thank you.
Mike Ferlazzo works at Bucknell University. He does a lot of outreach, and he squeezed this into his schedule. He's getting ready for graduation, plus they're always swamped anyway up there, and they crank out a lot of publications. But he brought us up to date on American Cancer Society. Relay for Life in Danville, 10 to 10 tomorrow. Easy to remember, and it's indoors. So if it's too sunny for you tomorrow, you can go indoors, and they'll have all kinds of food. We're going to take a quickie break and come back with open phones. Then we've got to find out about this donor class. I keep alluding to it, but I just won't let the mic open long enough to find out what it is again. John's going to explain that. Terry is a name you do want to know. Tyler, Steve, Jennifer, and Brad, these are people involved in the ownership or leadership of the hometown pharmacies. Terry's out at Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills. Tyler's at Trutz Pharmacy on Duke Street Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street in Mifflinburg. Steve's at the Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in Northumberland, which is fully accessible despite all the construction. Jennifer workers. They had pharmacists at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, smartest person in the room every place she goes, and she's super knowledgeable about medicines and their interactions. And Brad's at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. They all have coined the phrase super service, and they do it. It's what happens when you call them. You call them on a Saturday morning when your doctor's office is closed and tell them you're on your last pill. Well, they say, well, that's all right. We can give you an interim prescription of two or three pills to get you to Monday, or we'll get through to your doctor. Maybe if the doctor is at Geisinger, they'll have a 24/7 opportunity to renew prescriptions. But see, that means that you're making one call, and Brad or Jennifer or Steve or Tyler or Terry are doing the rest to make sure that you're super served and that you go away. You can't do that at CVS. You tell them your prescription ran out, you don't have a prescription. They'll say, we'll see you next week. And then when you do give them a dollar, they give it to China anyway. So you want to make sure that you're supporting your hometown, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Nori Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy. Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're enjoying open phones. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. John Shipman has graciously agreed to you carve out hours and hours of your Thursday and Friday morning for us, so we appreciate that. Rob Santer is our fabulous producer. Matt Cotrillo's over in the newsroom typically, but he's got the day off, believe it or don't, and he's got Taylor Schultz over there clackety-clacking, and she's doing a fabulous job, so we are surrounded by excellence, and then you got me. Dan, you're on the mark.
Hey, good morning. Well, I'm going to reinstate my question I gave you yesterday. I know the audio went off on the phone, and I didn't get to hear it on the radio, and several people asked me about it. On Woodmode's company-paid pension program, how will that affect the employees retired and the ones that are been out of work since the company shut down? And what's going to keep that pension plan solvent, since Woodmode won't be more than likely making any more contributions to that plan? Why would that stay solvent for the retirees and the people that are about to go on the program? And how would it stay solvent for the lifetime of them employees? That's my question, John, and I'll get off the air and listen to your answer. And thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Thank you. The pension plan, the traditional pension plan, now this is not 401k and so forth, because in a 401k, the employee has the risk. But in a pension plan, the company has the risk and guarantees a certain level of benefit. Generally speaking, there is some provisions that the company needs to try to keep those fully funded. We know in reality that many of them are not fully funded. And so about 30 years ago, the federal government brought into existence the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. It's sort of like FDIC for pensions. Every company that has a pension pays into that insurance pool for every worker. There's a formula that they have to pay into that pool, and that gives the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation a fund of money to guarantee benefits. So what will happen for those people who are already retired? Their benefits should be secure. The people who are currently working who are not vested will probably only get back their contributions. People who are working and are vested in the plan but not yet retired would see their benefits frozen as of Monday. So they wouldn't get their full benefit pension that they would have gotten, say, at 65. They would be entitled for a reduced amount and probably won't be able to collect that until the full retirement age. But the short answer is that the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, a federal government authorized program does have funds and will help those that are in need. There have been cases, however, like some of the steel companies and so forth, where the benefits were guaranteed through the union, where those benefits have been slashed, and that's tragic for the employees. But the benefits here should be pretty well guaranteed.
All right. And so if you're going to make a decision, like if you're like me, 59, and you're going to try to formulate, or maybe 62 might be even a better age to do it, for instance, and we know 10% of the workers that were laid off are in that region. You got to sit down with somebody who's knowledgeable like yourself and do some calculations.
You probably ought to sit down with a professional. What will happen, generally speaking, is in the next few months, when the company will have to go to the government, and they will have to justify where the pension is, if it's not fully funded, what the percentage is, and so forth. So there will be a period of time when they will be discussing the pension with the federal government. After that, those discussions are concluded, every employee will then get a packet. The packet will give all the details, and the packets can be very confusing. Usually they're 25, 30 pages long. A lot of it is government gobbledygook that they have to go through. And
which you've read all that
stuff. Oh, yeah. And but they give you your options. Here are your options. You can do A, B, C, and that's where it gets tricky, because sometimes you can withdraw your a base amount. Sometimes you can't, that packet will give you all your options, and that's probably the time, rather than try to wade through that, talk to somebody that's already been through it.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We certainly don't intend to make this program a call-in show for folks with financial questions, but you can call Lone Oak or Omni Wealth Group are the two companies that spun away from 18th Street Financial, which was a fabulous company in and of itself. And when it grew into two different branches, and one's in Lewisburg and one's still over on 18th Street. And so John would be more than happy to get you connected up with them. The donor class. Let's start at the beginning. What in the world is that?
Well, have you ever listened to the candidates and you vote for a candidate because you like the platform, and they get to Washington, D.C., and then they don't do anything about it? I think that's a pretty common
How about every
scenario.
Time?
Like maybe 99.9%.
Okay.
It infects Republicans and Democrats alike. Why? Why, when they promise the people that they want to vote for them, they promise the people certain things, why, when they get to Washington, don't they deliver on the promise? And there are always, of course, all kinds of explanations. But what's become apparent, I believe, in the last 10 or 15 years is that we have what's called a donor class who get their way in Washington, and the people be darned. It really has come out recently when you get people like the Koch brothers, very conservative, own Koch Industries, employ 80,000 people in the United States in various industries and so forth.
Used to own a little piece of land outside Northumberland.
Yeah. And George Soros, who's open society, one world government guy, and why are they on the same side of an issue, say, like immigration? They don't have anything in common. They're conservatives and liberal. When you look at why should these two people be on the same side of the immigration issue? By the way, they both want virtually unlimited immigration. Well, George Soros wants that because George Soros believes that the way to world peace is that everybody be equal. So everybody be equal means that we open up all the borders. Everybody can travel wherever they want to. They've tried this in Europe now for about 30 years. It's not working out so well. It looks like it's going to come apart. The Koch brothers want cheap labor. Cheap labor suppresses the wages of working Americans. Think about this. You're working as a mechanic at the local garage. You're working at the local grocery store. You're working at whatever the local company. You need to make at least $12 or $14 an hour to have a living wage, and you've worked there for a long time, and you're finally worked your way up to that point. And now this other person will come in and work, and be willing to work for $8 or $9 an hour. So for 20 years up until last year, the wages of working Americans have been stagnant. From 1999...
Now, I know I got raises, but you're saying inflation exceeded the inflation, or inflation exceeded the raise.
And in some cases, people didn't get much of a raise. I mean, some people would go 2 or 3 years without a raise. But so the wages for working Americans have been stagnant since 1999. And part of that, not saying all of it, but part of that is this unlimited or virtually unlimited immigration. Even the president, who's talked in his campaign about now, is saying, well, you know, we do need more people. Okay? So you look at the working person who had a $22 an hour job making automobiles, and all the automobile plants went to Mexico or Japan or China, and that person can't find a $22 an hour job, so now they're working for $12. That person's really in deep trouble. So when you think about it, I have some statistics.
I'll tell you what, I have to take a great call. We asked for earlier this week for Joe Kantz to call and set us up with a specific date of one of the wood mode things. So let's turn the phone over to Joe. We're talking about the donor class, of which you are not a member, Joe. So we're not talking about you. We're talking with you. So we appreciate that. Joe Kantz, chairman of the Snyder County Commissioners Board. We're not politicking here, but I always say
that's
a resourceful
correct.
Person might find him on a ballot in the week ahead. So we'll leave it at that.
Good morning, Joe.
What do you know?
Good morning, John. It's good to hear you.
And you.
And it was great to hear Mike Ferlazzo a little bit ago. I haven't seen him in many years, so I always had good times talking to Mike Ferlazzo.
He's working for his wife today, so he's passing on the word about the relay.
Well, I just wanted to, Mark, I appreciate, first of all that you guys have done to, shed light on the whole situation this week. Obviously, it's been... a difficult week for many families in our county, and probably one of the most difficult weeks I've had in office so far, just, dealing with folks that are going through a very difficult patch in life and doing my best to encourage them, because I really believe that there'll be better days ahead. It doesn't always seem like it. Many of us have been there when we've lost a job suddenly and to our surprise, and it takes a little while to recover, but we want to encourage these folks, because there's a lot of jobs out there, and I believe that there's going to be some good things ahead for these folks as they continue to look at the job market. And to that end, Mark, I appreciate you guys getting the word out about the activities. I just wanted to reemphasize them. Of course, next Tuesday, for all the Wood Mode employees, the rapid response will be at Susquehanna University starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I want to give credit to all the folks, all the different agencies, Sue Allman at the Community Action Agency and Erica Mulberger at the Central Pennsylvania Workforce Development Council, Tom Wurzler at the State Rapid Response, all of our legislators. Everybody's been doing such a good job to pull together, to bring these resources together. And I believe Tuesday, after the rapid response demonstration and event, all the things that they'll talk about, regarding unemployment and all those things that are important right now, I believe at 1 o'clock, after that is over, there will be yet another resource for all those employees. It'll be kind of a resource fair, if you will, just social services, things that financial planning, all of those types of things that people will start to need to look to put their lives back together. And then, of course, on Wednesday at the Sealands Grove VFW from 1 until 5, the job fair. And boy, oh boy, I mean, over 65 companies are going to be there, and I know that we're working on another job fair for the first week of June. We're hoping that the details of that will be out to the public maybe as early as today or Monday. I'm sure we'll have them for those folks next week. I expect we are going to have a tremendous amount of companies at that event. But these people are looking for hardworking Americans. And John and Mark, you've heard this day in and day out. I mean, business owners who have a difficult time finding employees who are willing just to show up to work, let alone do the work. And we've got now over 900 employees that have done this every day, the average probably over 25 years each. These are good, solid workers, and the job market is, they need these folks. They're going to suck them up in a matter of moments to put them on their staffs because they need good workers.
Do we have 900 openings of family-sustaining jobs around here?
Well, you know, Bob Garrett was with us at our meeting Tuesday morning at the commissioner's meeting and presented some information that I thought was very interesting, and it was no surprise that in the greater region that we live in, there are over 11,000 jobs available right now. And if you boil that down to Snyder, Union, Northumberland counties, where the most of the families that are have been affected live, that number is well into the hundreds. And Mark, I, you know, in the first day after the announcement at Woodmode on Tuesday, you know, I fielded calls all day long, probably about 13 hours straight on the phone, and I had over 30 companies call in and say, Commissioner, how do we get in front of these people? We need these people in our businesses. Those jobs that I calculated quickly equated to about 500 jobs just that one day alone. So these folks are in demand, and the people out there that own businesses, they need people like this in their business.
Joe, I think that's a good point. I'm aware of several that already have interviews, some of them even today. So there are other businesses that are going to be able to take advantage and hire some really great people. And I think that that's already happening because the other companies do have a need for good trained employees that want to show up and work. So I think you make a good point there.
Yeah, John, to that point, I spoke to a local businessman that Wednesday evening, and he said, Joe, I could hire 100 of these people tomorrow. And he had already hired 3 or 4 from Woodmode and was interviewing 7 the next day.
100.
Yeah, I think
yep.
And I hope every one of them can find a good job that will let them continue to support their families like they have in the past.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Joe, keep us informed on this. Come and visit us as time permits. I know you're sort of the great orchestrator of all this, if only for information, plus coordination for some of it. So keep us informed, and you have an open mic anytime to keep us up to date on this.
Well, thank you, Mark. I don't deserve that credit. It's really all the agencies pulling together, and they've all done an excellent job, and we will continue to do so.
All right, noted. Thank you so much, Joe Kantz, Commissioner's Board. Joe, is there one quick phone number that's always the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, you know, call me at the Commissioner's office is really the best way to reach me. My staff knows that if I'm out in meetings, they're going to get a hold of me and let me know. And believe me, I've fielded numbers of calls this week, and it's been a crazy week, as you might imagine, so I'm a little bit slower at getting back to people. Normally, I'm back to them within an hour. I'm about a day behind right now catching up with folks, but I'm doing my very best, and just hang in there. And I want to give this word out to all those people that live in our community that have jobs that are, you know, life is normal. Be aware of those folks that have lost their jobs, whether it's people at your church or whatever. We have an opportunity to help people around us more now than ever in our community, and so we want to be aware of that, and let's do our best to help those folks.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Joe Kantz. Very much appreciated. Joe Kantz over in Snyder County, Chairman of the Commissioner's Board. News Radio 1070 WDKOK is going to wrap up on the mark shortly, but we want you to know about the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. I told you about the hometown pharmacies. They take a dollar, and it rattles around in your local community. Well, guess what they do at the Sunbury Motor Company? They take a dollar if you spend it there, and they rattle it around with nearly 200 employees who work throughout out to their network at the Kia dealership or in Sunbury at the parts department, the body shop, the quick lane itself, or the car wash. Well, I don't think the car wash is staffed. It's just coinks. But you can put your dollar to work there, literally, there, and that's an opportunity. It's Sunbury Motor Company. They sell Ford, Hyundai, Kia, Lincoln. If you go through Consumer Reports and you're looking for the top vehicles to buy in almost any category, whether it's a small SUV or a tiny little smart car or a great big SUV that's ultra safe and is super fabulous and maybe even hybrid for your big growing family, guess what? These are the nameplates you're going to find at the top of the categories: Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. And they sell them at the Sunbury Motor Company. And in case you don't want to set foot on the lot just yet, you just want to pick out that car, we'll find out if they have it on the lot by going to sunburymotors.com. Everything they have for sale is on there, whether it's pre-owned or brand new. And then if they can't find it for you, they'll build it for you. You can build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. I got 1 minute of my wrap-up conversation about the donor class. You're telling me that these people with money are buying my elections, even though the campaigning is in front of me.
Right. Well, first of all, they have access, but I just want to give you a couple of illustrations. Sheldon Adelson from Las Vegas gave $122,250,000
$122 million
in the 2018 election cycle. That means in 2 years, 17 and 18, up till the 2018 election, Mr. Bloomberg gave $95,955,032.
$95 million. So in other words, he gave a million, and then he gave 94 more to people. This is crazy.
The first one was Adelson. The second one is Bloomberg.
Okay.
$94 million. Plus, he gave money to other organizations like, the gun rights people and so forth. Organizations, Bloomberg tops that. Bloomberg organization. But you have, in the top 50, you have from $95 million, the FAR LLC, $72 million, Uline, $39 million, Carpenters Union, $38 million.
Okay, so these are the donors.
These are the people that get their way in Washington. They're the people that have lobbyists that they send down to Washington and say, listen, you know, we like to support.
And they don't want immigration reform.
No.
Okay. Chris, you're going to get the last word on the show this week. We got 1 minute left. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the Eisenhower deportation of a million people. It was, in the end, it was probably about 300,000 because a lot of them just came back and were even... deported several times in the program, but and they were also done in very inhumane programs in an inhumane way. They were kept without food and water for a couple days. They were put on crowded boats and planes. It was racist from the start. It was called Operation Wetback, and it's a disgraceful period in American history. And to invoke praise for that is total BS.
Noted. Thank you so much, Chris.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate the call. You stand corrected.
I mean, I'm not defending the way it was done. I'm just saying it's been done in the past.
All right. Then thank you for coming in. Appreciate your volunteering. This is WDKOK Sunbury.